Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one queer story at a time. I'm Stefan, and the Worldwide Wave team is spread COVID safely across Melbourne. And tonight, I am joined by Alex.
Good evening.
And Shannon.
Hey. In the heart of Africa is the small republic of Burundi. After years of instability, civil war, and trauma, the country is currently rebuilding. But there isn't a place for LGBT people in the current or future state of Burundi. Homosexual acts are punishable by jail terms, and there is little or no acceptance in the general community. Yet LGBT people do exist.
One brave LGBT person spoke to us from Burundi. To protect his identity, we have called him Eric, a very common name in Burundi, and we have altered his voice. He gives us a very rare insight into what LGBT people experience in daily life, how they get by, and even how it is helping to build an LGBT family. Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
In Burundi, homosexuality is regarded as a national security threat. And what it means is that there is a sort of permission given to the security apparatus to make sure that that threat is being monitored. This is why I was really cautious in this kind of conversation we're having here.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
Previously a kingdom with a monarchy, it's gone through colonial rule before achieving independence in 1962. But what has followed has been political assassinations, coups, civil wars, and political instability. Since 2006, with United Nations support, the country has been rebuilding. That story of hope does not extend to its LGBT community, which remains in hiding. Homosexual relations are illegal for both men and women, but laws may not be the worst issue for LGBT people with a complete lack of acceptance in society. We spoke to Eric, a gay man in Burundi. Eric isn't his real name. We have changed his name and disguised his voice to provide protection from persecution should this interview be discovered. Eric started by explaining how religion impacts society and Burundi's LGBT community.
Religion is part of our life. As much as we have many religious groups condemning LGBTI people, we also have other religious people who are really open to build those safe havens for LGBTI people. The issues of faith is something that many LGBTI people explore, not only the Christians, but also the Muslim that constitute also a considerable portion of the Burundian population. When you're looking at how really strongly criminalization is rooted or institutionalized, we might be also looking at how, when for instance in secondary school, there is a ministerial ordinance that bans homosexuality. It makes it, whoever is found of homosexuality is thrown out of school for a whole year. which means if you are found to be homosexual in December, you may be spending the whole next year and then go back again to school in September. So we have had several cases. There have been several cases that people have been able to show. What's really also interesting in that situation is that there is no formal way that they're going to tell you that this is how we found you of being guilty of homosexuality. There are people, for instance, with whom they found a condom in their backpack. And I'm like, oh yeah, you are suspected of being homosexual. So since you have a condom, it's showing that tomorrow you might be performing homosexuality. And then the person, sadly, they got thrown out of school. They had to spend a whole year and then after trying to find another way of leaving this country. They were lucky. There are many people who are not lucky. Here I'm speaking also as a form like a privileged person, because there is also this huge, very huge, highly pronounced level of poverty within LGBTI people. The moment they don't have the family support, it means that they cannot get referred to any job or facilitated to perform any income generating activity. So, when you look at the general overview, some LGBT people, we try to find ways to blend with whatever that might help them to go through the patronage system.
There's been a lot of controversy in Australia about Margaret Court, a former tennis player, and her really anti-LGBT stances. And she opened a Burundi consulate in Australia within her church, in support of your former president. Is that something that's kind of thought about in Burundi?
There is something that's really important that maybe needs to be put in context. Since the end of the civil war in 2002, and then having former armed groups joining politics, we have seen the former armed groups, now political party, having strong ties with evangelical groups, and then those really great links ended up or evolved into the criminalization of homosexuality, of same-sex conduct, if we can put this in context. So these long ties with evangelicals have been growing, not only in the region, like in Africa, but also mostly with groups, evangelical groups based in Western countries like the US, or even countries like Australia now. So that link happening, or even those relationship happening with people like Margaret Court, are really indicative of how strong the relationship with those groups have been. But then locally, I think that these are things that people didn't even get to find out. I even found out, like when you sent the email, I just went on to really look at some of the things that happened, and it was really like worrisome. And I even wonder how many other people who really have those anti-homosexuality stands coming, even having ties with our high-ranking officials, which just makes me now, it puts me in a situation where now I would be very much interested to, to look at this Western agenda narrative when we see our country going on with Western-based evangelicals and religious groups to really cement, you know, ties, but also have repressive laws that are hindering the lives of, you know, the people from that same country.
From the African Nation of Burundi, that was Eric with us on Joy 94.9. Now, there seems to be many, many challenges in for LGBTI people in Burundi. And obviously, we often talk about religion in this show, and it's no surprise that religion, again, it's there as a problem. At some point, we're going to have to, you know, use religion to progress the rights.
It seems very damning in Burundi, doesn't it? Like, yeah. What exactly is happening and the way that, like, the church, like, you know, that it's being televised, that it's really all that people are hearing are these really negative words about LGBT people, because it just kind of creates like that system where the government can then kind of do what it wants, because it's backed up by everything that people are hearing.
Yeah, it's that camouflage that religion has provided in so many of these countries. Camouflage is essentially hate speech. So essentially, you know, they're hiding behind. They're using, it's not my opinion, this is coming from the scriptures type argument we've seen with, we saw this in the US with the TV evangelists. You know, I feel that the only solution is that, you know, there needs to be a greater diversity in voices within the Christian church to say that this is not the only, this is not the only voice within the religion, you know, that there's dissenting voices, different opinions, and the attitude about homosexuality is not, you know.
And that can be really distressing, you know, hearing this thing for LGBT people, that I've got faith as well. I think that's for something we don't talk about a lot, the distress that this causes and the difficulty having to reconcile your faith and being told this thing with some part of the church, some part of any religion, really.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You're basically told you either are a Christian or you're homosexual. You can't be both, you know, or queer, I should say.
Yeah, I think also for a lot of people, the religion part comes first. Mm. Like you hear the religion, you have that belief really from being very, very young. And then when you get older, you start to come to terms with your sexuality. And so it can also, like, there's such a internalized, like, hate and disgust of yourself that is then, like, makes everything so much worse for someone who's coming to terms with their sexuality because of what they've previously heard from their religious leaders.
And the church is what also sparked your interest in this story, Shannon, with Margaret's Court's church starting a Burundi consulate.
Yeah, and it's on, I believe, it's still on like our government's website as the official official consulate for Burundi.
This is that troubling thing, isn't it, of like basically endorsing, essentially you've got prominent people like Margaret Court endorsing unscrupulous political actors in other countries, you know, essentially it's encouraging, you know, which is a real problem. We've seen that with Trump and other populists, so, you know.
When the consulate opened, the First Lady came, but the president at the time was not able to come because he wasn't able to travel because of war crimes that he'd committed.
Coming up, we hear how anti-terrorism laws are being used against the LGBT community in Burundi. This is World Wide Wave.
This is Samuel from Kenya on World Wide Wave.
Even though we're currently broadcasting outside of the studios, you can still message us via Facebook, World Wide Wave, or W3Joy to find us.
Tonight we are in the African country of Burundi. Politicians rallying people against LGBT people in order to gain political support is not news across Africa. Neither is the infiltration of evangelical churches in African cultures. But Australia's involvement in this is rare, with notorious homophobe Margaret Court establishing a consulate for Burundi within her church. These churches are pushing anti-LGBT messages to those in power. Burundi now even considers homosexuality a national security threat. This means heightening monitoring and enforcement can be used largely unchallenged against the LGBT community. We have changed the name and voice of our guest from Burundi, Eric, to ensure he is not a victim of these harsh laws.
There is something that happened a few years ago that went unnoticed by many analysts, if I may say, is the fact that in Burundi, homosexuality is regarded as a national security threat. And what it means is that there is a sort of permission given to security apparatus, to the security apparatus, to make sure that that threat is being monitored. And also, I think that this is why I was really cautious in this kind of conversation we're having here. In this regard, people are surveilled without any, you know, people know. The people who are LGBTI, who are out, openly gay, their movement are scrutinized. They know where they live, who they have as a friend. And this is something that has been rampant and normalized here. On the other hand, the high-ranking officials, be it the president or even the other high political figures, they have been repeatedly, you know, speaking out against homosexuality. It's an evil from the West. It's an evil from that needs to be cured spiritually. Here, I'm referencing to how last year in 2020, be it in the aftermath of the election, the general election we had, or even after, we had officials making out to six speeches on national broadcast and even on other, you know, on their respective social medias. It was indicative that, you know, it was the first one, it was the first time that high-ranking officials had came out strongly against homosexuality in a short time of 12 months. This didn't even happen during the year that homosexuality was criminalized, which was 2010. So now, those repetitive actions will be having repercussion on how LGBT people will be seeing those kind of rhetoric, will be perceiving themselves. So it's like daily you are reminded that you are a criminal.
So what is life like for like the different parts of LGBT in Burundi?
So the gays, the G is very much present and visible. So there is also trans women who are also visible and mostly in main cities. They are known by the population, they are known by their neighbors. Now you have a really strong and a huge invisibility of lesbians and any woman, cis woman that might be identifying as queer, you know. So that level of invisibility is mostly due to how strong cultural and our society have been shaping the place of the woman in society. So the effects of patriarchy will be visibly impacting on how one might be claiming her space into the general life. So most of the women are obliged to marry, to have a family, and then to not even think of or even portray their sexuality because of the strong societal reprisal.
Last year, I believe it was your current president that blamed COVID on the LGBT community. What effects did that fear mongering have?
I think it has been something that have been rampant to always blame LGBTI people for all the disastrous things happening to our country. It's been something that we have been accustomed to, head speeches coming from the head states or, high-ranking officials. When we try to analyze that or even to look at that, there is something that has been long, there's a narrative that has been long pushed by those in the ruling class, in the ruling party, where they see anything perceived as a Western culture, Western influence has to be reprimanded. And so LGBT people are seen or, perceived as an elite pushed conversation, which elites most of the time is linked to Western powers. So it goes in this frame where they think LGBT conversation or LGBT issues are a Western agenda. What it fails to recognize is that LGBT people are part of the society. LGBT people are active member of the society, be it in every little aspect of the life, cultural life, political life, even in the religion, we LGBT people, we are trying and always, making sure that we are there for our society, for our families also, most importantly, even though there is a high rejection from anything that is non-heteronormative sexuality.
That was Eric, a gay man from Burundi in Africa, with us on Joy 94.9. Now, we don't really often hear of homosexuality as a national security risk. I think that's probably the first time I've heard that, but obviously it has massive implications.
Well, it's just that a classic national security is such a broad umbrella. It's a great way to throw anything that's problematic. But you do get a little bit of that coming out of Russia. This idea that it's homosexuality is a threat to the culture, the national culture, which is kind of the same knee-jerk, same reaction in a way of putting it under an umbrella and then you can't question it, you know.
I think it's also a real case of using the laws that you've got.
Yes, yeah.
You know, they've got these laws, so they may as well use them rather than trying to create new ones. Like, you're right, national security is such a broad thing.
Yeah.
It can't be very hard to then say we can use it for this.
And I was it's quite good to hear that they are openly, visible people, particularly gay and trans, but it's really highly scrutinized. How brave is it, considering the risks to put yourself under, to be able to still have this little bit of wanting to be out and wanting to be visible and not completely forgotten.
Yeah, to fight against that culture of fear requires incredible resilience and bravery, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I could do it if I was going to be possibly have national security pause abused to come after me. I mean, it's incredibly brave that people are willing to kind of be out, especially what was said earlier in the interview about being kicked out of school and, the high rates of poverty and, it's got to be extremely tough.
you know, we was also raised in that segment about the old argument about homosexuality being a Western import. Yeah. It's so tiring. It's such a, you know, I myself as a global politics teacher, this comes up, you know, it's just this whole framing of human rights. And it's not just LGBTI rights, it's women's rights as well. This is a defence used in quite a few countries, that this is a Western liberal imposition, a form of colonialism, you know, cultural colonialism being enforced. And it's becoming a very tiresome argument, but it's just still being pandered out by these populist leaders.
And there's much more to come. Coming up on Joy 94.9, we hear what it is like to be an LGBT activist in a country where you're not accepted. This is Worldwide Wave.
A special hello to everyone listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcast automatically either on joy.org.au/worldwidewave or iTunes or your favourite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave a review.
Joy 94.9.
Across nearly 10 years of shows here on Worldwide Wave, we have heard countless stories of struggles for change amidst great opposition. And yet, change continues to be made. It happened because brave LGBT activists step up and demand change despite the personal risks to themselves. Burundi has laws and societal attitudes that aims to repress LGBT people. And yet, LGBT people are still visible. One such activist is Eric, who we have changed name and voice to protect him. Eric shares how the LGBT community gets by and ever strengthened by working together as a family.
What's it like being an LGBT activist in Burundi?
I think that LGBT activists, we may have our particularity, but there is a lot that we share with you know, the state of being an activist per se, because as you know, maybe you have also read it on the media, is that, you know, there have been repression of activists working on human rights or outspoken of the wrongs that are done in the society by either private citizen officials. You know, there is this constant surveillance. There is also this situation where your relationship with all those people that are close to you have to be suffering in a certain way where, you know, the pressure might not be necessarily coming from the state, but people with close ties or with relationship to the government will be making sure that they remind you that there is someone watching you. So it adds now, when you are LGBTI activists, that thing will be adding up, you know, you being either LGBT or an ally, a really outspoken ally. There will be this constant reminder that you're talking about things that are not permitted in our country, so go slowly. There is this constant reminder of go slowly.
And what hope do you have for the LGBT community in Burundi for the future?
So I see a really gloomy future for the LGBTI people in Burundi, mostly because even though there is this huge, even though there is this this repression going on, people are finding within that repression ways to be resilient. People informally come together. They make sure to form groups that can not, I wouldn't say substitute family, but that can form a sort of family So those alternative way of coming together, of binding, of bounding each other, of making sure that they support each other, have led to numerous changes where there is a slow but now yet visible acceptance of LGBT people within the society. Yes, there might be, you know, there are still families that kick out their children, that take off family will their children because they came out as LGBT people. But then resistance have been looking differently for many people. Now people, you know, are thinking even of, you know, people are, you know, they have groups, as I said, but they have numerous activities to build up on the social cohesion. They put up those things, and at the end of the day, we see that grow, you know, there will be a growing presence of people who accept themselves in every facet of the society. So we think that maybe those people will be pushing for the changes that we'll be seeing in the future.
From Burundi in Africa, that is a very brave activist who we have called Eric to protect his identity with us on Joy 94.9. Now, there's obviously a really high degree of risk, and it has an impact on the relationship because there's constant surveillance, and that's why really we couldn't take the risk of having you know, the real Eric's real voice. You know, how do you live with that? So it's, I mean, to me, because I've never lived like that, it sounds so difficult.
Absolutely. Well, that's probably one reason why so many, you know, I'd love to see statistics on what percentage of Central African emigration is made up by such people as Eric, who just can't live under these repressive conditions.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, if you live in a country like that and you don't want to leave.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really have another option but to try and slowly fix things, right? Like, I guess you wouldn't really have much of a choice but to kind of try and do small things to do it. I guess we saw this, like, I remember talking to, we spoke to someone from Ghana, and they had the one building and they were the one LGBT organisation in the country. And at the time we spoke to them, they were all in different places underground because it had been raided. And then they started to reopen another building, you know? So I guess you've just got to push on.
You did talk about there was, you know, the visibility was actually surprising to hear that you said, you know, it's still quite well, you know, especially the G, as you said, in the LGBT acronym, is reasonably visible, and they tend to band together and support each other in ways that we take for granted in Australia.
Yeah, in ways we take for granted in a lot of countries, really. I mean, it's a gloomy future, but there's really the resilience that Eric displayed and talks about, and the connection, the group, the support, this is the family rather than relying on family. So do you think this visibility will help the change?
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's slow going, but I'm sure there are more people out now than there used to be, and
yeah,
hopefully, you know, there'll be more people out in the future than there are currently. And
yeah, and we see the kind of interconnectedness between the different activist groups around the world more and more, and the bravery of certain communities. We've seen that in Istanbul this year. We've seen it in the Pride rallies, despite, you know, being publicly banned in countries like Russia, Belarus. So, I mean, you know, people show resilience and ability to keep making sure they're not going to accept being repressed and pushed under and hidden. So,
the bravery of activists the world over.
I am Bisi Alimi from Nigeria. For those who say homosexuality is a Western import to Africa, I am a proof that you can be proudly African and gay and fabulous. And I'm on World Wide Wave.
And thank you so much to Eric for being brave enough to speak up for the LGBT community in Burundi.
And thank you to everyone who shared with us via Facebook. It's Lee, Brett, Dwayne, Liz, and eight more who've joined and interacted with us with Facebook in this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook, and all those who've sent in emails and SMSs.
And behind the scenes, our podcaster Peter and our social media master, Dean.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.